And so, you know, some of those types of programs might be the type of direction people ought to be heading, so, anyway, yeah.
Makes sense. I think Senator Witt, sorry, Senator, with both, you know, the 98 and a non-98 mandates, I think a lot of what we see are best practices, and when those best practices are then required across the board, then we end up paying sometimes a larger increment than what our requirements means for, with things that people were already doing.
Mr. Blumenfield.
Thank you. I'm trying to get my head around the mandates question, because there's a difference with the LAO and Department of Finance on the three different mandates. Are we current, and so like the LAO scores it at $65 million for the behavioral intervention plan. We're not currently paying that.
Yes, we are.
We are. We are paying, because I thought we were down to the...
No, this is still pending a decision before the Commission on State Mandates.
Okay.
The state was sued, and we are trying to settle it at something that we believe is more reasonable than maybe what the Commission's going to ultimately rule that we should be paying.
And so for all three of the ones that you're talking about, we're currently not paying it. So what you're suggesting is we're adding in a new payment. Is that correct?
The only one that would be a new payment is the $65 million for behavioral intervention. The other two, we're already paying districts. We pay them to administer the exit exam. And we think we should continue to do that, because that's largely part of our accountability system. The intra-district has to do with federal law and making sure we're in compliance with federal law. And so the only new one is the behavioral intervention.
Right. So the 24 million for the intra is something that we've paid in previous years. It's not one of the other ones where we're saying we're paying $1,000, sort of a nominal amount, and not paying.
Right.
These are the ones that we're actually paying.
We propose to pay these, and we actually propose to include it as part of the revenue limit piece of it, to make it easier for districts to allow kids into schools that have vacancies that are performing better than those that aren't performing as well.
So then I guess I'd flip the question then to the LAO. So if you're proposing eliminating it, eliminating the mandate, although the mandate, as you said, aligns with the federal requirements anyway, where does the money come from to do it, or does the school have to absorb that?
So in those particular cases, the two that the Department of Finance is proposing to fund, I don't know that our strategy there would necessarily be to eliminate the mandate, or at the very least the proposal would be to eliminate the mandate, but try and find some other way of achieving the same thing. So something to bear in mind on both of these mandates, high school exit exam and intra-district transfer, they are tied to federal law in a certain way, but that doesn't mean you necessarily have to have those mandates in place to be in compliance with federal law. In fact, the intra-district transfer is in some way supplemental to the federal law. None of these are expressly required for to be in compliance. But I would say, in addition, this is an area where, take high school exit exam, for example. Right now, we pay a certain amount per student for the high school exit exam. The mandate is only covering claims that are filed above and beyond this cost that we're already providing. And as I've mentioned before, some districts are claiming far more than others.
So if I understand you correctly, what you're saying is that you can have the mandate, and it's just that the costs we're paying for as a mandate cost are much higher than the actual cost. And so you're saying, just like an $18 per letter, that was a good example for the truancy letter. In a real world, you know, you could do it by email and it would cost nothing, or it cost a dime. And so you're saying that we could do this, we could continue to do the intention of what the mandate is without paying the mandate price.
Right, exactly. It's a matter of separating that something is technically a mandate versus...
Right, no, I get that part.
What
I was really trying to understand is the cost differential.
Right.
Because it's not going to cost $65 million for the behavioral intervention plans, but it probably is going to cost something.
Right.
And we don't know how much. I don't know if you have any estimates of what the real costs,
sure,
of the three things are that you're recommending eliminating the mandate.
If you were to take our approach on behavioral intervention plans, there would be no cost going forward. We would eliminate that cost and still preserve the policy. On Casey, it's obviously a little more complicated, but at the very least, we think that if you are going to be funding Casey based on this, what we already provide and the marginal difference that people are claiming, then there's a more efficient way to provide districts that amount they feel they're owed.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Walters.
On page 5, in the first section where it talks about, we're talking about, you know, mandates and eliminating some of the mandates and talking about the enrollment fee collection and waivers, and your recommendation is to eliminate and use fiscal incentives for districts to continue the program. What type of incentives are you thinking about in this area?
Paul Steenhausen with Legislative Analysts. This is a mandate that requires community college districts to collect enrollment fees and waive the fees for certain students, for example, if they were financially needy. And it's an expensive mandate, cost total about $180 million over the past, for the past 10 years, about $20 million in annual ongoing costs. The way to explain it best is under current law, the state budget appropriates a certain amount of, a total amount of general purpose or apportionment money to the community colleges, and that money is provided to the districts. It's made up of three main sources. There's property tax, fees, and general fund. The districts retain the fees that they collect, as well as the property tax they collect, and then the general fund provides any additional money, you know, to meet that apportionment obligation. So our recommendation is, to the extent districts decline to collect fees, the legislature could reduce the district's general fund support by that amount to create a strong incentive for them to perform this administrative action duty.
All right.
One question. Could you do similar things on all mandates?
There are mandates out there that you can tie to funding, yes. You can tie it to, you know, as a condition of getting categorical money, for example.
Could you look at some, give us some more examples? Well, I mean, get back to us with some more examples.
Sure.
Okay, thanks, that'd be great.
Okay. Members, then, what I'd like to do in the 10 minutes remaining to us is see if we can take action on item 12, if there's no objection to that, and then move to the vote-only agenda. So any objection on item 12? If not, I would entertain a motion.
That would be.
Yeah, everybody's there. This is the creature credentialing to save $2.7 million for the general fund. We like that one. I'll move it. Or Senator Dutton moved it, I think.
Senator Dutton, did you move the staff recommendation on this item?
He doesn't have it.
All right. Would you move the Mr. Cheney?
I'll move it. This is the governor's proposal. It would be approving the governor's proposal. This shifts money that we owed the teacher credentialing.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
But we're shifting it. Yeah, sorry.
I think maybe you want to.
We want full restoration, though, not partial. Did partial. Sorry. We want full restoration, the full $2.7 million general fund. We want to capture that so that, and then you would have to split it. DOF and you are going to have to reconcile the split between categorical and revenue limits.
Actually, it's between the
two CTC funds, whatever they are.
Sources.
They got two different special funds.
Out.
You work it out. Mm-hmm. But we want all of it, not just half of it, the way the governor proposed.
All right, without objection.
Are you okay with that?
That would be a 5-0-5-0 vote.
Okay. Pass.
All right, then we can move to the vote only agenda. Are there any items that any members wish to abstain on or remove from the vote only calendar? Seeing none, then I would. Mr. Nielsen. Item 7, you would like to remove from the vote only, or you'd like to take separately? Okay. We can record a no a 3-2 on the Assembly side on item 7, and on the Senate side, 5-0. Then the remaining items, without objection, we will move on adopt on a 5-0-5-0. All right? Excellent. It's 10 minutes to 7. We did great. Thanks so much, everybody. Any final issues or comments for tonight? Tomorrow we will be reconvening at 1:30 in the afternoon, and we will be moving on to childcare and higher education.
Tomorrow at 1:30?
Tomorrow at 1:30. All right, we're adjourned for the evening.
Good job.